And welcome back from fathers in segment one to daughters, specifically the young women who will be attending the brand new Hawthorne Leadership School for Girls in North St. Louis. It's a charter school sponsored by Washington University with heavy emphasis on science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM disciplines. With me to talk about the new school, which opens late this summer, are Mary Stillman, founder and executive director of Hawthorne School. Robin Weens is the school principal. And joining us by phone is Ann Tisch, founder of the Young Women's Leadership Network, upon which the Hawthorne School is modeled. She's also a graduate of Washington University, by the way. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Don, how are you?
I'm great, and thank you for being with us long distance.
Hi, Ann.
Hi.
It's his old home week, I gather.
Yeah.
Huh?
This
is a good place
through
to start. And Mary, I'll start with you. Obviously, there's been a lot of coordination going on with what Ann is doing and what you're doing here. Tell us how that all worked out.
Yes, well, I heard Ann give a speech at Washington University 5 or 6 years ago about the founding of the Young Women's Leadership Network. And when I heard that an all-girls public school existed in New York, and in there are many affiliates around the country, and that they are doing so well, that was my moment. I said, I want to bring that model to St. Louis. I am a graduate of an all-girls school, so I know the special qualities of an all-girls school.
Well, let me ask Ann Tisch, tell us something about how you came upon all of this, this whole concept, and why you think it's important and why it's working so well.
Well, and I would add to what Mary just said, it's important for a community, and these schools are so successful that that's what turns me on about them, in addition to all of the other factors. I was a journalist, Don, and I was working for NBC News at the time. And I was on a story in Milwaukee, and it was about a large Milwaukee public high school that put in a daycare center for its teenage mothers, so at least the mothers could come back to high school and get a diploma. And it was when I was on that story that I actually got the idea for our girls' school. And that was back in the 80s, and it was when I was asking the teenage moms, many of whom were 14, 15, 16, so where do you see yourself in 5 years? And a couple of them started to openly weep, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I don't think we're doing enough for these kids. Figure something else out, but get your story done. I was on deadline. And that whole idea never left me. And when I was leaving NBC News, I knew that I wanted to set about and figure out a way to open a school for girls, that might be the answer. And at the time, there were, of course, girls' schools for affluent girls, and there were girls' schools for Catholic girls or yeshiva girls in the Jewish community. But if you were poor and in the inner city and you wanted to go to an all-girls school, you just didn't have that option. And we felt that was wrong. I'm a big believer in public education. I was educated in the same high school my parents went to in Kansas City. And I have believed all along that public education is savable as long as we offer parents and students a choice. And that was a choice that didn't exist. So that was what was behind the creation of the school. And at the time, there was a lot of data that showed that many, many girls, not all, but many, do better in a single-gender environment. So that was the impetus to do the school.
Well, let me ask Mary about that, about why would they learn better in a single-gender environment?
Well, there are many reasons. One is that there are fewer distractions, and so really concentrating on academics when you're in the classroom. There's another kind of element of having girls all be the leaders of everything. So every classroom discussion is led by a girl, every president of every club, every editor. So when the girls are really stepping up to the plate, that translates into success for many of them. And there's just a sort of a sisterhood that exists in an all-girls environment where the girls look out for each other, cheer each other on, applaud each other's success, and that's the environment we are going to build at Hawthorne.
By the way, I'll just point out that the girls will be wearing uniforms, by the way, which is something that is advised in a lot of quarters.
That's right. And our girls, we've actually had some of our students who are already enrolled in the school help us select the uniforms, and they're very cute.
And therefore, there's not going to be
scholarly looking.
There's not going to be that competition that sometimes takes place among girls and boys about the way they dress and whether they can dress appropriately or have the money to buy the kind of clothes to do that. Robin, let me turn.
The parents love the uniform model. They just love it.
Oh, yeah.
The girls get used to it pretty quickly.
Robin, let me turn to you because you're going to be the principal of this enterprise yet to start, still in August, middle of August.
That's right.
Tell me about the challenges that you're going to be facing in this concept. It hasn't been done before here.
Well, I think there are a lot of different challenges. Some will be unique to us. I think some are not unique and are just part of developing public education programs. One thing I personally am very committed to is teacher retention. In the fall, I spent a lot of time visiting a lot of charter schools, STEM schools across the country. And one thing that I found to be a significant factor in how quickly and how successful these schools were able to get off the ground was totally related to the teachers who were able to return from year to year. And schools that did not retain teachers at a good rate really lost a lot of traction in their curriculum and in that community and culture building. So I think one of our greatest challenges, but will also, I think, be one of our greatest successes, is really creating an environment where our teachers feel very invested in the quality of the work that we're trying to do here, and certainly contributing to a really strong school culture that is not just academically focused, but as Mary described, a community that really focuses on our girls feeling connected to the learning community and to each other.
Any difficulty recruiting? I mean, this is something so new. I wonder if people just don't kind of stand back and wait to see how it goes.
Well, everyone has been so supportive. The families we've met with, the teachers who applied to work for us, everyone has been extremely supportive, really understands the vision and mission and the program that we're trying to create. If anything, being the first all-girls public school has certainly created some challenges in the sense that families might hear about us or read about us but think that they have to pay tuition, and that is not correct. You know, as a charter public school, we are tuition-free.
How about recruiting students, Mary Stillman?
Recruiting students it's fun. It actually, because you get to meet so many people in the community. We have, because we're an affiliate of the Young Women's Leadership Network, we have their successes to show our families that this is what a public all-girls school is capable of doing for our students. That's been very, very beneficial. And, St. Louis has a long and proud history of all-girls education. We're the first public school, but single-sex schools here, people are familiar with that. We've had, some of our best ambassadors are our early enrolled families who've gone out and told their friends about it. And so a lot of our families are bringing other families to the table. So we are on track. We've got we're recruiting for 6th and 7th grade. We're opening with both grades.
Mm-hmm. It's a gradual rollout.
Yes.
Right. So each year we'll add a new 6th grade. And so ultimately we'll be a 6th through 12th grade school. There are still spots available. I have to get my plug in for any parents who are out there listening. We still have spots available, but we're enrolling at a good clip, both 6th and 7th grade, kind of equally.
We'll put contact information, by the way, on our website at stlpublicradio.org so folks can reach it easily that way. And Tish, what does affiliation with your organization mean? What does it mean to us here in St. Louis?
Well, it means different things at different stages in the life of a school. In the beginning, we certainly offer our template, nobody really has to reinvent the wheel. We've had the folks from St. Louis in several times to look at our five schools in New York and to talk with our staff. We share best practices. We usually contribute in some way to the authoring of the charter application, which goes to the states, which is really very important. And we share a lot during the life of a school after it's opened. We meet as affiliates at least once a year. We get our principals together on the phone every, 6 to 8 weeks to talk about what's going on and what's new. And there's a lot of power and safety and security in numbers when you know you're not the only one out there doing this work. And if something comes up that's challenging or particularly exciting, you can get on the phone and shout it out to the whole network. It's a very gratifying experience, and I hope it's, and I know that it's gratifying for the schools that we affiliate with across the country.
In terms of curriculum, is your focus also on the STEM disciplines?
Yes. We have four core values with the schools in New York, and one of them is health and wellness, STEM, college access, and summer programming. My original vision was to program the school year-round, but I couldn't pull it off politically, and I couldn't pull it off financially. So as a result, to reduce the melt, the summer melt, if you will, the losing of knowledge, we try to program most of our kids for the summer.
That some of the kids, I'm sure, are not eager for that full time. but we sure have learned a lot about what is lost, what just kind of evaporates during the course of the summer, haven't we?
Oh, it's really true, and it's quite serious, and it's not just inner city public schools. It's across the board. There's a real melt of information that you gain during the school year, and you're out in the summer for 3 months, and too much of it goes away.
Robin, do you think that will ever happen here, that we might be looking at a full year of school for this particular school?
Well, we are looking at two types of summer programs. One would be our Summer Bridge program, which would be essentially focused on students who are newcomers. So it would be next summer, all of our new sixth graders, any new seventh graders who would be joining our learning community. And for lack of a better description, the Summer Bridge would really be an opportunity to help them learn the ropes of the school culture at Hawthorne. And then the second option we're looking at is also a summer program that is very hands-on, very experiential, very much a mix between time in the classroom building, but also experiences outside of the building, and certainly experiences that students wouldn't normally have access to, and getting them kind of outside the comfort zone of the neighborhoods here in St. Louis, and exposing them to things that would be very new to them, and help, you know, broaden that curiosity and expose them to different things that they might be interested in.
You're going to have a longer school day, as I understand. Is that correct?
Yes, we will have a longer school day. We're also going to have a slightly longer school year.
All right. Okay. Let's turn to the neighborhood, Mary, the neighborhood where the school is going to be. What kind of a neighborhood are we talking about?
Well, our school is on Kings Highway, about a mile north of Del Mar, Kings Highway and Cote Brilliant. It was the old McBride Catholic Boys School. So it's undergoing a transformation as we speak. We bought the building at the end of 2014, and we've been renovating it for several months, updating our admin offices, our classrooms, and then a pretty large project on building out three new science labs, which are going to be fabulous. So our commitment to the neighborhood is one that is permanent. I mean, we bought the building. We're putting a lot of resources into it so that it supports our program. Being in that part of town really is, I mean, there is need everywhere for children to have excellent educational opportunities. In North City, that need is even more pronounced. There are studies showing the gap between students and quality seats, and there's a very large gap in the northern part of St. Louis. We're really excited to be doing something there that is positive. Families are excited about it. We've enrolled families from about more than 16 different zip codes throughout, so we're enrolling families throughout the city, but most of our families are coming from around the school neighborhood. So we're excited to have a diverse community of learners, but we're also excited to be really putting our stake in that area. It's a beautiful old building right on Kings Highway. It's a beautiful boulevard, very accessible.
If I may ask, where is the money coming from to buy the buildings and do the things you're going to have to do?
You may ask. So we're a public school, so we get public funding, but not until school opens. So all the money that we have used so far, both to be able to bring Robin on a year in advance and to hire other staff that have come on more recently and to purchase the building and renovate the building, is done through fundraising from individuals, corporations, foundations. We've had some really, really generous community support. I think so many different people see the need, and this school resonates with people for different reasons. Some, it's the all-girls. They had an all-girls experience. They loved it. They want other girls to have that experience. For some, it's the commitment to North City. For some, it's the STEM and really focusing on that, particularly creating a pipeline for St. Louis, for women, for minority women. That's exciting to them. So different people have different reasons why they've been generous.
Well, let's talk about STEM for a moment. We've done a number of programs here on the fact that we're so abysmally far behind most other countries when it comes to science and technology issues. Why choose that one? I mean, it would seem to me that that would be the most difficult part of this piece of this pie, or whatever we want to, however we want to put it.
Difficult, perhaps exciting, expensive, yeah. Necessary, all of those things. And, you know, as Anne said, the Young Women's Leadership Network, it's one of their core values to focus on teaching young women in science, technology, engineering, and math. It is where the jobs are. It's where the good-paying jobs are. And the point of Hawthorne is to have – for our girls to have a wonderful experience while they're there, but to go on to college and to go on to careers. And so not every one of our girls is going to be an engineer or a mathematician, but some will, and all will have the foundation.
And as I've understood it, though, that young women basically steer themselves away from these subjects. It's a question now is to lasso them and bring them in and generate that interest. How have you been doing it?
Well, we'd like to change that trend. You know, the emerging crisis when I first got into this work in the early 90s was the difference between boys and girls in technology. And as Mary said, that's where the jobs are. Math, science fields are grossly underrepresented by women. And it's a trend that we would like to buck, and we're having really extraordinary luck. I mean, the key to unlocking a scientific mind is often a fabulous science teacher, access to science opportunities off the campus. We send kids to the Mississippi Bayou to test pH levels in water and find creepy crawling things and all sorts of opportunities to really turn them on to that world in which they've pretty much been left behind.
And Robin,
and it's really interesting, Don, because if a young girl typically defines herself as a student by her math success, and it usually happens around the fourth and fifth grades. So if a young girl hasn't been successful in math or science, then she kind of has this voice in her head saying, I'm not much of a student. We'd like to really impact that. We'd like to change that trend and get these young women on a completely different mindset.
Well, this trend has to be changed. There's no question about it if we're going to be successful as a society. Robin, I thought you were starting to say something. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to add on to what Anne was saying. When I think back to when I was first a classroom teacher back in Boston, and I taught a lot of technology and engineering classes, I saw the shift happen myself during middle school. I would have young women in sixth grade who were so exuberant about science and engineering and building things, and by the time I worked with them in eighth grade, they'd really pulled themselves back. You know, I didn't see that tenacity that I had before, and also even just working robotics camps and things over the summer, you know, having one girl be enrolled in a certain group of students and not making it through the first week because she felt so isolated and disconnected when there were no other girls there. And so I think one of the exciting things for me personally about helping launch Hawthorne's program is that we're capturing these students at a really critical time where hopefully we can leverage that, you know, this interest that they have and make sure that we're creating a really supportive environment where we can continue to encourage that curiosity and make sure that that doesn't happen by the time and that they don't lose interest, you know, over those critical years.
Mary, is that part of the strategy in rolling this whole thing out is to get them at that earlier age where you can really bend the twig, as it were?
That's right. I mean, we really are excited about the ages. When our girls come in, they're still that age where girls are pretty self-confident before they've you know, not every girl is the same, but often as girls enter their adolescent years, they lose some of their self-confidence. And so we're going to get girls in sixth grade, in seventh grade, who will come to us excited about learning, knowing that also without boys in the classroom, it's up to them. So step up, because here we go. And we're doing this in science. We're doing this in math. We're, all of our girls will have two periods of math every day, a basic math class and then a math lab. And so they'll be able to explore in hands-on ways. And we have these wonderful science labs we're building. And so really to get the girls excited about it at the ages where they haven't been turned off by it yet.
What about the humanities? We've only got a minute left. What about art and music and some of the things that kids aren't getting in many schools today?
Right. Well, we'll have the full we'll have a full curriculum. So the focus on STEM is wonderful, but we will also have a full humanities course where we teach literature and history together in a double block. We've hired a dance teacher who will be teaching all of our girls dance. We have PE. We'll have an after-school arts program as well. We'll have an intro to engineering class that all of our girls will take. But everybody will have exposure to all of the things that a real education looks like.
Robin,
can I just say one thing, Don?
If you can do it in 30 seconds.
Quickly. This is a real gift to St. Louis. I am so excited for the community and for the parents and young women who are going to be lucky enough to go to Hawthorne. This is going to be a home run for the St. Louis City Public School System and can only strengthen that entire community. It's really exciting work.
Well, we're looking forward to see how it works out. Robin, you've been doing some of the recruiting, maybe all of the recruiting. We have a tweet here asking, do you have any male teachers?
Yes, we do. We have two. We have two guys on the team, and they are very, very talented, and I'm very appreciative of their willingness to come be part of the Hawthorne Dream Team.
Well, we'll be watching this. It's an exciting prospect. Mary Stillman, Robin Weens, thank you for being with us. Ann Tisch, thank you for being with us as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Most informative. That's it for us for today. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with the co-authors of a new book detailing the experiences of the first African-Americans in the space program. Then we'll hear excerpts from St. Louis Public Radio reporter Stephanie Lecce's conversation with St. Louis Archbishop Robert Carlson. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.